All right. Mr. America.
When does it go?
Thank you for tuning into this month's episode of The Cuddy Strange, where our guest is drummer, composer, and improviser Jordan Glenn. The Cuddy Strange broadcasts on Wavefarms WGXC 90.7 FM in New York's Upper Hudson Valley.
You weren't supposed to say that.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to. So Jordan, if you could tell us a little bit about your background, where you came from, what your musical influences are, how you came to the Bay Area.
All that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm from Oregon, and it's where I was born and raised, and I went to the University of Oregon out of high school to do music, and I was really into jazz and classical music and just kind of general percussion stuff. So then that's what I went to do, and I spent a couple hardcore years just doing classical, you know, like preparing for symphony auditions and that kind of stuff, and then went to focus on drum set and playing jazz, and then there was a couple guys there that turned me on to some out there music that I liked better than the kind of cutting session type of jazz vibe that was going on. So then I just got into that, and then I moved here. After I graduated there, I spent 3 years just kind of I started playing in more rock bands and punk bands and stuff, and I was doing some jazz kind of like work, like, you know, restaurants and stuff like that, and doing those at the same time, and then was getting called less and less for the jazz stuff as I played more and more rock band music. Or I was saying yes to more of those, and then I was busy. But I think at the same time, maybe my plane was slipping. I'm not really sure. But people, you know, I wasn't being asked to do that so much. And then, my money was running out, and I was just totally, you know, bumming around. And I wanted to move away. And, somewhere like New York seemed like the obvious place, but I was too scared to go to the East Coast just because spent all this time where I grew up, and then I was either going to go to Seattle or here, and I was also looking into grad school just because I thought that'd be an easy way to kind of be occupied with something and kind of get plugged into something happening, and I was kind of ready to, you know, I don't know, study some stuff or just work on some stuff. I mean, I didn't really know what exactly, but I'm not the type to like go to a place and then like, I don't even know, you do go to jam sessions or go to shows and so it was like school seemed like an obvious or an easy way to do it. And then just did some research, and Chess Smith, that this drummer who he lived in, he went to school at the University of Oregon before me, and we had mutual friends, and they were always talking about him after he left and saying, oh, you'd really like him and what he does in this music. And so I just, you know, done some research, and then found out, oh, he'd gone to Mills and he studied with Willie, and that, you know, honestly, that's like when I just doing some research was like, oh, this is the guy, he played on Mr. Bungle records and stuff, but I didn't really know him before that, or Fred even. I maybe Naked City or something. I was like, oh, the bass player from Naked City is, not knowing that, you know, anything of, like that, he had like this whole other thing going on. But anyway, so I was like, oh, this is great. So I came down and you know, they had an improvisation major, which just seemed perfect, because like that's I'm a player primarily, and it was like all the other schools I was looking at were like ethnomusicology or composition kind of thing, and I couldn't really cut it either. I didn't have enough, like, you know, of a background in that to really showcase that. So I this improvisation thing seemed like a no-brainer, and it was like an audition thing, so I went down and auditioned, and you know, the rest is history. Now I'm here with other Mills alums being asked these questions. wait, where am I supposed to end with this? Or just use, like, you know?
It doesn't matter. That's,
yeah.
Just a quick.
I mean, that's what got me here, I guess.
Tell us about the Wiener Kids.
It's a two saxophone and drum group. And alto saxophone and barry saxophone, baritone saxophone, barry saxophone. And that's kind of the core of it, but then they also play bass clarinet and clarinet. I'm trying to think of why that was, like, I think maybe there was an idea of like, oh, we'll do some lighter music but still have this high and low kind of thing, and they both play both. So it was like, give the opposite player the chance to play the low instrument. But then, yeah, that music was tended to be like, you know, lighter and kind of just like ballads and stuff. And so Aram, the guy that plays alto, playing bass clarinet, he wanted more stuff that he could kind of like play, you know, like bass type stuff, not just whole notes. So I've been trying to write music that does that, but that's a weird thing, because the energy gets pumped up a little bit, it's like, why not just go to the saxophone? Yeah. And play it like that, how it's been. Anyways, I've had them playing percussion too. That's been something I've been trying to do for the last over a year, maybe almost close to 2 years. That group is so, it's such a slow pace. We have, you know, I just can't get around to like keeping us that active. It's maybe a show or two shows a year, depending on who asks us to play or wants us to play. Because I'm not, you know, trying to seek out the shows or anything like that, write new music. That's, we have a record though that's like, I'm working on, that's it's gonna be another 2 years probably. But Willie had asked me to, or he said, you should write a piece for his percussion ensemble. And he said, you could make it a collaboration with Wiener Kids. And I thought, oh, I was like, that's a good idea. Where like, a percussion ensemble and then the two saxophones. And I just get to sit and watch it go down. And then I thought, oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to record it. And then that'll be on the record with all this new material of us playing the percussion and, you know, the expanded kind of stuff. So I was like, oh, this will be great. And then that band will probably end after that. No, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's such a, I don't know. It's weird. You go in and out of being inspired to work on that thing, mm-hmm. You know, like, or my ideas, I'm going, oh, I like conducting more often or playing like big groups. So I've been doing that. And, like Mindless Thing that's on the thumb drive, or this new group I have, beak that's like a lot of hand drums and guitars and bass, and it's like, it's more groovy, driving kind of, you know, just jamming out kind of stuff. But like writing that music is way more satisfying because it's just little chunks of things, and then I can dictate how it's fleshed out, or, you know, I don't have to sit with the paper and the pencil and, like, you know, those details just get me down sometimes.
Thank you.
So with Wiener Kids, it's more like charts.
Yeah,
and then
yeah, that's
with,
always been.
With Beak, it's more modular,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And we do some of the same material. I've taken some of the, a couple Wiener Kids things and just broke it up. And we're like, these parts. And some of the Wiener Kids stuff is almost... Some of it moves towards that thing where it's just like a couple loops. They're not, it's not really like a, here's a melody and here's a, it goes like this and then we stop and then this happens. It's like just a bass line that's going forever or some kind of little accompaniment part or a rhythm or something. I feel it's almost like the aesthetic of Wiener Kids, what it was, is kind of, it's going somewhere else, so why not put that in a new thing? But at the same time, and also like I've been trying to, find out from Aram and Corey, the other two guys in that group, what do they want to do in the band? And Aram wants to improvise more, because I was starting to write stuff that was more composed, that had very little, openness. I mean, there might be a couple bars, but it was part of a form somewhere. You got to go off, but then you came back.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I wrote a couple things that were way out, like that just didn't, we never ended up doing anything with them because they were too open. Like they were like, how do I describe this? They were more instructions or kind of processes, and we would just kind of sit and try and do these things, but there was no real clear ending. And then that stuff sounds so unlike the other material that it just didn't, to get it in seemed really bizarre, like buried it in the set kind of somewhere in the last third. You do it and then you go back to the other material. But it's nice to have all this variety of stuff, and we've been doing it for a long time, so there's a lot of stuff we could pull out. The Wiener Kids family band kind of came out of wanting to do the old material in this new, bigger way. And kind of so like we wouldn't play. I thought it was going to force me to write new trio stuff. And it did a little bit. But that's the writing of the music is like the hardest thing. You just get
Well, I always like wonder with a lot of these, because I'm not really an improviser, and I am, I guess, with electronics, but not percussion. I can do it, I just don't really do it, And I wonder, with a lot of these trios and stuff, like, how do they write their tunes?
Well, the Wiener Kids stuff kind of, it has there's a range of stuff. I guess the earlier stuff, or probably majority of the music is kind of more, like, in a jazz kind of sense, where there's... Well, I was going to say, like, in the form, there's, like, a melody or a head or something, and maybe both parts are written down, and then there's, like, a section that's for solos or for, improvising. There'll be stuff where it's, like, the Barry's has a line that's going to be played, and it could be, like, an 8-bar thing that's looping around or something larger, or shorter, to be up 2 bars or something, or one just little ostinato, and then that's the start of something that kind of goes off. And then it's usually just having a, where is it going to go? There's some other section we're trying to get to, and then using the improvisation just as a way to go into that next thing, like letting that solve the issue, or maybe writing a something that connects it a little bit. But what I mean in the jazz sense is like, there's a lot of a lot of the drum charts, right, have these like, oh, they're playing this melody, and then you have a bunch of chord changes that are usually over the same kind of form as what was played earlier. Or if, it can be just some modal thing that's just like 8 bars of D minor, and you're just sitting in that. And then, but you're supposed to go into the next thing. So what I mean is like those charts are kind of like that, but we're way less rigid with what happens in that open section. And definitely I'm not, there's no real chord changes or anything, because it's just the two of them. And the more I've done this, and working with all these different people that I, you know, you go back to them because they're like, you don't have to tell them that much. And mm-hmm. so it's like, oh, I can always have this person come in because I know they're going to do something good. I don't have to say, right. you know, you don't have to like really nitpick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so then trying to find ways that like make it a little different. Cause I remember there was this Rova sax quartet show that like blew my mind. They did some music that I could have sworn I was listening to it. And I thought, okay, I know I could picture kind of how it might be written out in a score or something. And then I asked to see that music and it was just like a graphic thing, you know? And so, I mean, it had some rhythms and stuff. That's what, there was things that were like, you heard material that was, but I could have sworn they were playing the same notes sometimes. They were doing these things. It was really, it blurred the lines so much. That's what I really was into, where it's like, I can't tell what's written or not. And not that like some of the early Wiener Kid stuff does that, but that's kind of what I'm going for, is like, if you can, I want to just like not, you can't really tell, but sometimes yeah. it's cool to go, here's a thing that was played and now we've landed in this section and he's going to blow over it. But what's been challenging in that group is trying not to have it where it's like Aram, the alto player, solos and he plays a bass line and we play, you know, just a groove over
yeah.
or under him soloing. Getting out of that's been hard, or giving it some space, some situation for the Barry to be featured, is that's been hard.
Yeah.
Because it can't be the same thing. It can't be like he's honking on a bass part on the alto or something. I mean, it's just different. Just not quite. But that's the thing, you know, Corey loves playing the bass line and he kind of gets off on doing that kind of thing. So he doesn't sometimes want to be. But it feels like, oh, people, we should just be a balanced thing. We should all be kind of getting. So then also treating the open sections not like, here's a solo for so-and-so. It's just, we go into it and let it go where it's going to go.
So when did the family band start?
When did that start? 2011. And I only know that because when I was looking for that track, that record, I think that's the year on the record, and that band was put together. I had written this song. It's the one that I included on the thing. It's for my mom's birthday. I wrote her this, like, you know, just this, like, tune with chords, because she plays piano and stuff and accordion and wanted, I something that she could play if she wanted to play it. And so it was just a melody with some chords, like lead sheet, you know, real straight kind of thing. And then when we were recording the trio stuff, I was like, oh, I'll arrange that thing for my mom for this large group, because I didn't have a recording of that tune for her. And so I put together this band, and it was like, I'm in this group, Jack of the Clock, and so it was going to be that band plus Aaron and Corey, and then I augmented it with trombone, got a different drummer and a keyboard player. And then, so then we recorded that, and I also threw it on the record, like, just some kind of conducted improvisations that were based on the first Wiener Kids record. We have, like, a handful of songs that are just, like, a minute long, and so I just was taking, like, fragments, just little motives and stuff. It was kind of that beak thing where it was like taking the pieces and then we would give them out and I would conduct how it goes. So it wasn't the song. It was just like this kind of collage of like sounds that were kind of that. So then we recorded a few of those, and each of those kind of has a miniature that the trio does. That's like kind of, it's connected with. And so then I was like, that band sounded, you know, I thought, oh, I'll arrange old material. And so that stuff's pretty hyper, you know, arranged. The beat kind of thing, or what I'm wanting to do more now is just, I write like a bass clef part and a treble clef part, and then give that to everybody, and then, you know, then they make it work for their instrument. The other stuff was like, because like my friend Michael Coleman, asked me to come and do, like, he said, oh, you play this thing with him, and he's like, and we can do the family band too if you want. But I was thinking, oh, I'll bring that beak material, something like that, and call it the Wiener Kids Family Band, because it's, you can't, you know, there was like bassoon and violin, all this stuff. It's like, it's not a banjo. I mean, to find these people in just some place. This is a lot easier if you just have a... So I like that idea of just mixed instrumentation and then kind of, here's all, everyone's got the same stuff.
Yeah.
And then we make it work together. I've been liking that kind of thing. But I do want to write more, just like everything's written down too. I feel like I've gone to the extreme of just like, oh, we're just going to figure it out, man. No problem.
Getting real Mills up in here. No, there's...
Thank you. I've been also really into Butch Morris, so like doing kind of using or you know composing with gestures and stuff, so that it's like, so it kind of works. Like we have ways you can interpret the material too, mm-hmm. and signs for that. So like they can't, you can call in a thing and they play it as it's written, but it can also be done differently depending on how I cue it in. I like that a lot too. Because I have this, you know, this dream of like, I could play this music without any of the paper, somehow get that to happen, but the, you know. And then I heard this interview with Butch that was like, it's really good. Larry Oakes said to check it out. It was like The Other Minds. He came and did some masterclass with a string group. And so there was like, he was basically describing what he was doing while teaching them, and there was an audience there, and people were asking questions just throughout the thing. So it was just this really awesome give and take, and him describing it, and it really distills what he's doing and what he wants. But the thing that struck me was, see, like, he's not interested at all in anything that can be written down. Like, it, like, because someone asked a question about, like, if you wanted everyone to kind of hit, like, this G or something like that, you know, how would you maybe get... Because that was something I was kind of wondering about too. Like, if you had a very specific thing, you wanted an interval or something, there's got to be ways to do it. Because he has all this vocabulary, but his thing was like, well, then I could write it down on a piece of paper and hold it up and say, do that. He's like, I'm not interested in getting something that can be noted or written down. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's cool.
Or just have the same group all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, or just.
Yeah.
Which is.
I mean, I still do think with his method, there is a ways to kind of do that, but it's, you know. I don't know. I just really like, because that's just the spontaneousness of you know, just improvising. That's like. I feel like I make better music when I'm improvising than if I were to have to sit down and figure out what I'm going to do in this order and how it goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just personally, like for my own thing. So giving that freedom out to people, it's like, but balancing that with some vision you have, that is a trick.
Town. A coffee solo out the window made love and sawdust to nothing but black eyes. Went home and fell in a corner. Why cry about all that, little girl? There was a fountain in the village square about the dead soldiers. and there will be more. I thought to bring you an image, but saw no purpose till silence ringed me down. Touching is over, and nothing, nothing, and nothing behind. Thank you.
I'm curious about how you come up with some of your like modifications to instruments that I've seen you work with, like with the string and the wood on top of the snare drum and stuff. Or I guess if you could describe some of that and then maybe talk about like how you kind of came to start working with those kinds of things.
Well, there's that thing you're talking about, the strings on the drum.
Mm-hmm.
That's like I built these things. Like that was the hardest thing. I was trying to build something that could house. What is that called on like a guitar where you have the strings go? You know, the strings go in, like on the.
Oh, like the tailpiece.
Kind of, yeah. Where the string with the, like the nut on the, you know how it like mm-hmm. keeps it from.
Oh, like the saddle.
I don't even know if I know if you said that. But like, you know, something with the tuning pegs on the other end, mm-hmm. getting those tight and connected to the drum in some way. Because I had this vision of the, you know, the drum being like the, like a banjo, making a banjo basically out of your drum.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted it as I had this idea. I was like, oh, this is a thing I'll be able to just kind of toss on very fast. So, like, if I'm improvising, I could get it on. I mean, never, not even close. It's like, you got to show up early and really get this thing dialed in. But that's the thing. I built one for each tom and snare drum. But they're all still in prototype kind of, you know. I never moved past that. Because they kind of they make a sound and they're kind of cool. But I've had numerous people, when they see it, who are kind of in that world, be like, oh, well, you should, you know, do this and that, and this is how you can fix it. But it's like, it's kind of working, so that's where I'm going to hold on to this. And then I made, I don't know, I got this, that Paul Drescher had or he still does, like a residency thing there. That's really easy to get. And, you basically just are give, like what I asked for was like just access to his workshop. And then he and a couple of the, like Daniel Schmidt and him kind of come in and out once in a while. And they welcome you just emailing them or asking questions and or whatever. But I basically would just kind of go in and use their tools, and they had a bunch of materials too, and he was like, use as much of this wood, or because they just scavenge tons of stuff, so they just had all the, you know, boxes of springs, just wood of all sizes and types, and so it was just like, you know, have fun. And they, and Alex Vidim helped me too a bit, but I went there and I was like, I'm gonna work on this string thing, and I also wanted to build some slapsticks. And then drummer Kenny Wollison, he's a drum set player and plays vibes and stuff too, but he's also, he builds instruments, and he builds all these really weird things like that have cranks and, you know, just make these sounds that are kind of very specific to what they are. He's not like trying to make a guitar or something. It's like some other crazy thing. So looking at some of his stuff, I was like, gave me ideas with, you know, what I could do with maybe springs and stuff. And so I just started to collect kind of like, this one thing I use a lot of is, I think it was a drawer, like a small drawer, maybe like that size, like a, you know, 2 inches deep kind of. And it was really well constructed, and it has like some, like little compartments within it. And it had some pre-drilled holes, which helped. And then I just was strung a bunch of springs inside of that and got them real tight. And the thing's real solid, but it sound, you know, it's like, it's almost like a cajon or something. It's got kind of like a, but really high. And it, so you can play kind of a drum, like a drum, and it has certain spots. It makes certain sounds. But with the springs, it gives it this like, just, you know, reverbed out kind of thing. And you can scrape the springs and stuff. And
thank you for tuning into this month's episode of The Cutty Strange, where our guest was composer, drummer, and improviser Jordan Glenn. The Cutty Strange broadcasts on Wavefarm's WGXC 90.7 FM in New York's Upper Hudson Valley.
Can we get an EBT now?